Shusha Rav Kohn, very chashuv of Talmidim. I picked the topic of Noisei Ba'olim Chaveiloi because one of the Talmidim asked me to help add an extra zuchus for the surgery that he's about to have, and it should be l'refuah shleima. But thinking about it, I began to wonder how much of the Torah do we actually integrate into our daily lives and our personal hanhagos. One of the kinyonei haTorah, the memches dvolim shaTorah niknes bahem, is nosei be'ol im chaveiro. It's remarkable that this expression does not appear that often, and even the Sfarim that are Sifrei Musar until very recently, meaning the last 50, 60 years or so, they haven't really delved into this topic very much. What exactly do we mean when we say Nosei Be'ol Im Chaveiro? You share his yoke, you share his burden. Perhaps there was a breakthrough, if you will, in terms of the sensitivity to this topic from the time of Rabbi Yisrael Salanter on. So the Sifrei Musar that are from that cheder of the Baalei HaMusar do spend significant time on this topic. And before we go into what they say, I would like to make two comments. We live in very, very precarious times. But we live in a very unique niche within these precarious times. And I think that because of that, and I will explain what I mean in a moment, I think that our opportunity for Nosei Be'ol becomes endless, and our ability to be Nosei Be'ol is almost non-existent. It's a very peculiar stira, and I'll explain to you what I mean. When you are in the same lifeboat together, and the boat is about to capsize, the ability to empathize with someone else is extraordinarily great because it's happening to you as well. And the only thing that might hold you back is your preoccupation with your own survival. When I'm very busy with myself, it's hard for me to think about somebody else. But the etzem sensitivity to the need of the other person is self-evident. Now, if I lose all my money in the market, again, I may be very busy with my own tzar. But at the same time, I have the ability to share and understand the other person's suffering if he loses every penny that he had as well. But what happens if I live in New York and there's something going on in Mumbai? And I hear and see in an extremely immediate and extraordinarily, exquisitely graphic way the current event as it unfolds. You are there to such an extent that you can take a cell phone and hand it to the murderer, and the murderer speaks to the family of the hostage. I mean, it's nerivayim. It's as close to the event as you can get, but you are safely ensconced in the Beis Medrash or in your house, and you can be sipping a cup of coffee while you are watching this unfold. There it takes an extraordinary feat, actually, to enter into that room and be the hostage with the other person that is, in fact, the hostage himself. To feel the torture, to understand the pain of a parent who doesn't know from one moment to the next whether his child is still alive or not. And theoretically, I mean, one would imagine that life has to stop for us and that we cannot do anything at all because we are completely, not because we are intellectually absorbed in the drama, but because we are mishtatef in the tzar to such an extent that it has paralyzed us from being able to do anything else. But it doesn't really happen. So we are in this niche. We are in a protected corner of the world. We are very fortunate. We are successful. We are healthy. We have enough money to get by for sure. And we are watching and observing from a distance. So the opportunity to be Nosei Ba'ol is greater than ever, in a sense. We have the opportunity to be Mishtatev, but we've lost the antenna. We've lost the sensitivity. So I'd like to speak a little bit about this. Why Nosei Ba'olim Chaveru is part of Kinyonei HaTorah is discussed by a few Mefarshim. And each one says something or other along the lines that the Tikkun HaMidos are a chelek in our ability to learn Torah itself. Because if we are sensitive to our chavrusa, we will be appreciative of our chavrusa, and if we are appreciative of our chavrusa, we will learn from our chavrusa, and so on. That is a strand that tries to attach every single element of the Memches Dvarim directly to a kinyan in the Torah itself. And it's the opposite of Lo Nahagu Kavod Zebazeh. On the other hand, there are some Mefarshim who explain that it isn't dafka because it directly affects your ability in learning, but rather that a person who has such a personality will not have siyata d'shmaya, HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't like him. Or that the tachlis of Torah is to achieve a certain level above the animal. And when a person does not do that, because he does not develop his midos together with his learning, so the learning becomes itself corrupted because the person who's learning is not the person who's supposed to be learning Hashem's Torah. Moshe Rabbeinu comes out, it says, Vayar b'sivlosam. Rashi says, Nosan einov v'liboy li yos meitzer aleim. Einayim and leiv, very interesting, are very often combined together, the positive and the negative. Lo yisassur achrei levavchem v'achrei einayim. Ayin roa v'haleiv chomed. In the Nosei Ba'olim Chaveru, you have to have ayin and leiv. The ayin is roeh, what's in front of your nose. A person will always see what he wants to see. And a person is oblivious to what he doesn't need to see. That's why taiva is always appealed to by the spectacle of znus. That's why every advertisement that wants to draw you in has a picture which pulls you, which attracts you. When a person is Nosei Ba'olim Chaveru, he has to have two completely separate functions going on at exactly the same time. He has to be yored into the other person's matzav. That's ayin. And then he has to care enough that it should make a difference. I'll give you an example that I read in a sefer about one of the very choshev yidden in Yerushalayim in Eretz Yisrael, whose name was Tzvi Kowalski. The Maisa is about a cousin of his that in Tovshin Tesvav, Chodesh Sivan, somebody threw a grenade, in Rechav Shmuel HaNogid. And a cousin of his name was Shaya Hadari, was wounded. He wasn't wounded very, very severely, but it was enough to bring him into the hospital. To make a long story short, he found out about it, Rav Kowalski, and he ran to his cousin. And he was comforting him, and he took him into wherever the surgery was, and all right, fine, that's to be expected, no? But then he did an extraordinary thing. He realized that the parents know nothing about this, and how are they going to find out? They're going to find out from the news reports. They're either going to hear it on the radio, or they are going to read about it in the newspaper. He made his way from Yerushalayim to Tel Aviv, where the parents lived. And he tried to get the Hatsofer, which was the paper that the parents read, not to run the article. But he arrived too late, and they'd already published it. So he ran to the dispatcher, the fellow who sent out the newspapers on that route, and he made him pass over that house so that they wouldn't get the newspaper. But then he realized that he's still going to hear about it on the radio. So he went to the house, and he took out the fuse in the basement so that they had no electricity. And then he knocked on the door or something like that, or got somebody to knock on the door and tell him that there's a problem with the chashmal, and it'll be fixed momentarily. Then he came, when the parents were up and about, he came to the house, and he broke the news to them himself, very, very gently. What does that require? Ayin alef. So the ayin that it needs is simply to realize that parents will get sick and shocked and frightened because there's no one there, and suddenly they hear this on the news, and every news magnifies him. They don't know how seriously he's wounded. For a parent, niftza kal means there's a crisis. But the tircha, the cheshbon, the chokhma, that requires a tremendous amount of lev. Tremendous amount of lev. They say that Reb Chaim Shmuel Levitz used to cry yom v'layla. Whenever there was a tzara, he would cry and cry and cry. When his brother-in-law was sick, people began to give up, you know. Olam kemin hagenayik. What can you do? Zed darko shalola. And we got up in the middle of the Beis Medrash, and he says, how could you be so callous? V'ket lehefech. The more of a mesukan he is, the more we have to cry, the more we have to beat the ramparts, the more we have to open the Aron Kodesh and pour our hearts out. I was thinking an interesting thing, and the truth of the matter is, we are all guilty of this, all in the sense of the generic. Maybe there are Yechidei Sgula, Ashreichem, Ashreichem. Your parent tells you, what time are you coming home tonight? I'm going out. So you could be going out to the Beis Medrash, you'd be going out to have a good time, you'd be going out on a date. What time are you coming home? So I'll be home by midnight. It's very late midnight, but I'll be home by midnight. It's 12:05. And you can bet your bottom dollar, as they say in the colloquial, that the parents are already looking at the clock. But it's only 12:05. You know the way that Navi describes in Shoftim, Bi'arachalon nishkefa v'tiyabev eim sisra ba'adha eshnov. Madua boshesh richbo lovo. Madua echeru pa'amei markevo sov. 10:12:15, 12:30, 12:45, you're ready to call the police. But you're not going to call the police. And deep down you know that Mistama is all right. But still, it's 12:45. And how come you didn't even call? 1:30, he comes into the house. The parents are hysterical. What is there to worry about? Of course I was all right. You know that you're all right, so of course there's nothing to worry about. But you're not a parent. That's the problem. It's not just that you're not there. Of course, if you're there, it's much easier to know that you're all right. But it's not because you're not there. It's because you're not a parent. And when you become a parent, you'll realize that a parent's kishkes can turn inside out and upside down. And there's really no justification for it. It's one of the highest crimes in the list of kibud av v'aim. There really is no justification for it. What it lacks is the re'iyah of the ayin, of what you don't see the vignette of the parent biting the nails and looking at the clock 500 times each minute. Where is he? But it's also missing the leif, because your kishkes are not turning upside down. The noisei ba'olim chaveiro requires the ability to see the other person's tzara, because it's not always evident, and certainly not evident in the way that that person is immersed in the tzara. Tzaras have consequences. They have ramifications. They have tentacles. They breed tzara. And for a person to evaluate that requires a re'iyah of an ayin chayderes. But then there has to be the lave that tries to not just feels the other person's pain, but tries to figure out b'tachbulos tasa melchama, how do I ease that person's burden? You know, it's a remarkable thing. The Mirim Mashgiach Rav Yeruchim once called the Talmidim of the yeshiva together, and he told them that I'd like to close the yeshiva. It's kedai to close the yeshiva. I believe that some time back, I may have mentioned this maisa a number of years ago in the Sichas Musa. Why does he want to close the yeshiva? He says, yesterday an event occurred which prompts me to feel that it's not kedai to continue anymore because the yeshiva isn't worth keeping open if we have Talmidim like that. Because they haven't learned anything from the Torah. Maisa shehoya kachoya. The police were walking behind a number of Talmidim. Talmidim got anxious and they started running. The police, of course, caught up to them. In Mir, the police, it's not like the police here, which is not much to write home about either. But it's not the police of New York, believe me. And when they caught up with them, they told them that it's Mamash and Nes. The police told the boys of the yeshiva, the young men of the yeshiva, that it's Mamash and Nes, because we could have shot at you also. What are you doing? What are you, crazy? Let's see your identity cards. Everybody had to carry some sort of an identification of who he was. Where does he come from? They had formal legal documents that they had to carry with them at all times. Yeshiva Bachram sat and learned in the yeshiva whole day. They had no reason. They weren't going on business. They weren't traveling anywhere. There was no reason to carry it with them. Not one of the five or six Talmidim that were caught by the police had an identity card. So they said, we have it in our dira. We have it in our achsanya, in the luggage, in the chamadan, as they said. So they said, well, we want to see it. So three of them lived in one makom, and two of them lived in another makom. So all five of them went together to the first makom. And of course, the three had it in their suitcases, as they said, and they showed it to the police, and the police said, okay. And then the police took the other two, and they went with them, hala. They went further. The next morning, Rabbi Yeruchim Levavit, Zechrono Levracha, L'chayei Olam Haba, he found out about this maaser. So he says he doesn't understand. How could the three remain just because they had proven that they were okay? Why didn't the three go with the other two? But he has a much bigger kasha. The three apparently slept very well. He must have asked them, how did you sleep last night? They slept very, very well. He said, how could you sleep when you had no idea what was happening to the other two? It's kedai, he says, to close the issue. It's nirav oyam. But the sensitivity of something in midos does not happen because we are learning taisvus, Rabbi Osai. And if you have any hava mina that that's how it happens, banish the thought. Because the sensitivity in midos is only shayach when you work on the midos themselves. There's a tremendous advantage to a ben Torah, because he has the makoros to consult, he has the rebbeim to emulate, and he also has an agenda that is saying that the tachlis of a person is that it should be above and beyond the animal, which is pretty much the opposite of the agenda of your average person here in America. So we do have very big pluses, but don't confuse the pluses with the achievement. The achievement is not going to happen unless there's a very big haravanya. To reach a madrega vayar b'sivlosam requires a tremendous amount of work. People lost a fortune. The people who lost a fortune, there were some people who didn't lose as much, or perhaps didn't lose anything at all. So there's one person that I spoke to, and I'm listening to him, and I cannot believe what I hear. He says, a year and a half ago, the glee, the joy on his face was so pronounced, it was so palpable, and that's what I couldn't believe. The story itself is wonderful. He was inspired to sell every single stock that he had. From where and from what, I don't know. Lo lachachomim lechem. Nobody can say that he was smart, and that's why he did it. A lot of smart people in this world, and they're all buried in this market. And he sold all his stocks. And he bought CDs. His money is safe and sound. And he says, so far so good. Wonderful. I feel great for you. says, all my chaverim, he's laughing. Charev, they're mamish charev. And the smile is from ear to ear because he succeeded where they failed. The exact opposite should have been the case. How does Rabbi Yehuda HaLevi say? Eich et amah. How do I find any tam in the food that I eat when I see that Eretz Yisrael is charev? How could a person have any tam in his hatzlocha when all his chaverim, all of his krovim are charev mamish? It shows a corruption of the personality to the core. And these are people who are bnei Torah. In quotation marks. There is a terrible, and I say terrible in the sense of Nora, Manora. There's a terrible piece in Rabbi Yerucham's writing where he speaks about the Livnas HaSapir. There's this extraordinary statement in the Torah, Tachas Raglov, K'maisa Livnas HaSapir U'ke'etzem HaShamayim L'Torah. That Kivayochol, there's an image portrayed about the infinite Ribono Shel Kol HaOlam Kulo, who is not Yasigehu Masige Guf. And Afal Pi Kain, there seems to be some need by the Pasuk, and by what the Pasuk conveys, is such an important need, says Rabbi Yerucham, to convey to us a lesson that the Pasuk is willing to create an image. It's of course only L'saber Es HaOzen, but Afal Pi Kain, when you create that graphic and image, it must be that the lesson is to be learned is an extremely important lesson. What is that lesson? So Rabbi Yerucham says that the lesson is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu felt the need, kivayochol, to feel the pain of Bnei Yisrael in Mitzrayim, to carry with him a levena, because without that levena, HaKadosh Baruch Hu bichvodo v'atzmo cannot feel the pain of b'chomer u'bilvenim. And ke'etzem ha'shamayim l'toari cannot feel their hatzlocha, unless he has something tangible and palpable to relate to. You hold the levena kivayochol, and you say, I feel the tzar. Ke'etzem ha'shamayim l'toar, and I feel the joy. And then Rabbi Yerucham said something that is absolutely, it's terrible. It really is, it's terrible. It has a quality of being horrific and awesome at the same time. He said that when a person on the average goes into a simcha, and he wishes mazel tov to the Baal Simcha, there's a good chance that what's going on in his heart is, I wish you do not have a mazel tov. It's an awesome statement. Everybody has his problem. Everybody has his peckle. Everybody comes into the chasen and he has a daughter to marry off and it's not going so well. Or he's in the midst of a shidduch and things are going topsy-turvy. This person sees the beauty of the shidduch, the beauty of the hall, the expense that's being expended on this incredible one-night event. This man must be loaded. And the kinna and the sinna that comes from the kinna explodes in his heart, and he cannot be mishtatef in the other person's simcha. I don't know if this was Rabbi Yerucham's idea, but I attach something to it. The Gemara says, Ketzad Meraktin Lifnei Akala. Rashi, as you all know, says, Ma Omrin. But I mean, Ketzad Meraktin, Kala Nova Chasuda. Kala Nova Chasuda is not a dance. Kala Nova Chasuda is words. So Rashi says, when it says Ketzad Meraktin, what it means is, when you are Meraktin, what do you say? I was thinking to myself, that maybe what Rabbi Yerucham is telling us is the following. You need that Livnas HaSapir. Without the Livnas HaSapir, you will never be able to have the sensitivity. So how does a person walk into a simcha and say, Kala Nova Chasuda, your Kala, that father's Kala, that mother's Kala, that Mechutin's Kala, is Nova Chasuda? How do you say it and how do you mean it? Mit dem ganzen Herzen. You know how? You start to dance. You start to dance. And when the dance is embracing you, and you are caught up in the music, and you're caught up in the step, and you join the throngs, then all of a sudden something melts inside of you, and you say, Kalo no v'chasuda. That's your livnas hasapia, the dance. And it could very well be, maybe I'm taking it too far, that the whole idea that without music, I mentioned this morning in Shir, that the Trumas Hadeshen has a tshuva, that there was one of the Goyim, who was the prince of that area, of that territory in Germany. So he lost his wife, and he made a gzeira, no music that year. Everybody has to be mishtatif in my avelus. So there's no music. No bars, no singing, no music, nothing. So the Shaila was sent to the Trumas Hadeshen, what should we do now? Should we make a chasna here without music, or should we have to, are we forced to go to another medina? And he says, no, you go to the other medina. But you can't make a chasna without music, you can't have chasna kal, you can't start life. And wedding is a very serious business. You fast before the wedding. What do you need it for? The answer is, perhaps, because there can't be a genuine ishtatfus without that music. Because unless the person is pulled into it, he can't feel the other person's hatzlocha, the other person's joy. Rabbi Yeruchim and all of his Talmidim and his Rebbeim, the Alter of Kelm, and Rabbi Yisrael Salanter himself, they all believe that deep down we are very corrupt. There's something inside of us that would kill if we could. They used to quote over and over again, "V'mispalul b'shloma shel malchu shel molei mora ish es re'ehu chayim blow." Ish es re'ehu chayim blow doesn't mean some terrorist with an agenda. It means the neighbor next door. The whole structure of society is based on mora shel malchus. If there's no jail, if there's no prison, if there's no... So you have a governor of Illinois. He completely destroyed the life, his life, and the life of around him. Taivas Hamama. That's Mr. Meshuga, governor of New York State, a different kind of taiva. But the Tzad HaShav HaShebohem, they're finished. Ilmoli Moira, Ishes Reyeu Chaim Blo. Our ability to be absurd and corrupt to the extreme, and to lose ourselves in the gratifications of nonsense when we have opportunities to do great and wonderful things, this is mamish legion. And it is that sensitivity that we are required to have that takes us out of that chayara that is inside of us and makes us malochim. I just wanted to mention one more thing. I was always wondering about Rabbi Akiva. I don't know if, you know, what you do when you're driving a car or whatever, but I start wondering about various chazals. Just plays around in my head. And it bothered me tremendously, this story of Rabbi Akiva, for at least 50 years. Listen to this. Rabbi Akiva is a shepherd. He's a shepherd. Certified Am Haaretz. He has a certificate. Rabbi Akiva is a certified Am Haaretz, because Rabbi Akiva says about himself that if I saw a Talmud Chacham, Eshchenu Kachamar, he's a certified Am Haaretz. Comes along a Rachel, the daughter of the richest man, who was a tremendous tzaddik and a tremendous Talmud Chacham, and his biggest Baal Tzedakah in Yerushalayim, Kalba Savua, they come in Re'evim Kekelev, and they come out Saveya. And he's a person whose whole dream is that his daughter Rachel, the gem, that is his daughter Rachel, should marry the biggest, finest, and most profoundly successful Talmud Chacham in the yeshivas. That is his dream. That is his whole life's purpose. And one day she comes to her father, and she says, I found my bashert. So he's a little bit surprised that the shidduch didn't come from him down, I imagine. It's a very unusual thing that they should find the Bashert on her own. But let's hear who you have in mind. Which yeshiva does he go to? You know? And She says he doesn't go to yeshiva. Doesn't go to yeshiva. He's such a guy, mamish, like he's self-made, like Reb Moshe Feinstein or something like that. Says, no. In fact, you know him. I know him. He doesn't go to yeshiva, and I know him. He's getting his curiosity is very piqued. So who is he? He says it's Akiva, the shepherd. So how he survived that heart attack, I don't know. But whatever it is, he said, of course, you're crazy. And she said, no, I'm going to marry him. And of course, he cut her off. He cut her off totally. Cut them both off. But they eloped. I mean, it's not like they had a major chasen in Yerushalayim and everybody was invited to that brachel, marrying my shepherd. My shepherd Am HaAretz with the certificate. I'm serious. I don't understand. So what does Rachel see in Rabbi Akiva? You know, and it's ironic because even if Rachel was from the types, which she of course was not, to know Shas and Poskim herself, but it wouldn't help her a bit because he didn't. So what's the point? So what does she see in Rabbi Akiva? What does she see in Rabbi Akiva to go against the father, to go against the whole mahalach of Shidduchim at the time, to be willing to cut off completely, to cause her parents incredible agmas nefesh? You have to see something. Was she a neviyah? Did she have that kind of level of ruach hakodesh? The Gemara doesn't tell us that. What the Gemara says is that he was tsanua umali. Tsanua umali. He was tsanua, which apparently for a shepherd Am HaAretz was an extraordinary chiddush. And mali, he had milus. He was choshuv. He had a chashivas to it. So I want to understand, where did she see that? Where did she see that? At the dinner table? Was he ever invited to dinner? I don't know. Where did she see it? So the answer, she saw it the same way. I think, Gemara doesn't say. I think she saw it the same way that the Ribbono Shlom saw Moshe Rabbeinu's mitzvahs. The same way the Ribbono Shlom saw David HaMelech's mitzvahs. He saw him tend to the flock. She saw him tend to the flock. And it was the manner in which he went after that little Gedi, like it says by Moshe Rabbeinu in the Medrash. And he was angry at the Gedi. What are you running away and making me trouble? And then he saw that the Gedi was running to water. And he realized that I didn't give you to drink, and it's my fault. And he had the pain of that little Gedi in his heart that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you are ready to be the Roet Son Yisrael, Son Kadoshi. So Tzanua Umayli? That's something else entirely. For that you're willing to buck the whole system. For that you're willing to give up who knows what. And for that you're willing to live a life of incredible poverty and suffering and privation. But you know what's very interesting? That incredible koach to perceive who Rabbi Akiva is was her guarantee that Rabbi Akiva would become the Gadol Hador. That's a remarkable thing. It's very interesting. I'm almost tempted to say that if you're Tzanua Mali, you might be Zocha to Torah, but if you're Zocha to Torah, you might not become Tzanua Mali. Unless you work on it. But maybe that's what it is. She saw the Noisei Ba'oil capacity of Rabbi Akiva. So how do we see, do we have any evidence that Rabbi Akiva became that Noisei Ba'oil when he steiged and became the Gadol Hador, when he became the person that Moshe Rabbeinu was Sameach B'Taraso, and this Atzei B'Misoso, do we have any evidence of it? So listen to this Medrash. Medrash says, Rabbi Akiva Nofik Lahu Asra. He went to a certain place. He saw a certain person that was carrying a terribly difficult load on his back and crying and groaning. So he says, what are you? So he says that he was a Baal Aveira, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu took him and he punished him in this way. Of course, we're talking about Olam HaSal Yonim now. But he sees this person. So he wants to know, did you leave a son in this world? Did you leave a child? Indeed he did. But he was in a far off Medina. Far off Medina, so what do you, when so may the Ribbono Shalom have Rachmanus on you, and you go back to the Gemara, which is your entire life's blood. So what does Rabbi Akiva do? Does he go back to the Gemara? Halach Rabbi Akiva l'Medinoso ubikesh esheshes hanifta. The Anshei Medina revealed to him that this man was a gazlan and a rasha. It doesn't deter him. Azul lebeisa yumolas hatinak. In another chazal, there's a similar maaser. Rabbi Akiva was in the Beis HaKvaros. And he found Adam Echad, who was no longer alive. And he discovered that he was Nanash Kach Mipnei Shabbal Nara Amorosa B'Yoyim HaKippur. He said, did you hear up there that there's an Eitzah for you? Because you know, once you're up there, you can't do anything for yourself. You're a total prisoner. Not L'toiv, and not L'ra. You're frozen solid. The possibilities stop. Except there is one Eitzah. Children can do for you. People on earth can do for you. Tzedakah tatzel mimadas. Kapir l'amcha Yisrael asher padisa. Lamcha Yisrael elu achayim asher padisa elu hamesim. Amalei shamati shem yesh li ben shaya oimid betzibur v'oimir baruch hu es Hashem ha-mevorach hoyu matzilin olsi min ha-peronius. V'hoyu Reb Akiva holoch hu mitztayar v'yoshav betaynis arboim yoim. You hear? Yoshav betaynis arboim yoim. That the son should want to learn Torah. Yosha betainis arboim yad. Yotzis abasko v'omra al zeh atom isane v'omar hein. It's unbelievable. Rabbi Akiva, the world stops for the son of a rasha to take that man out of Gehenna. And I believe that that kind of exquisite sensitivity leads finally to the Nichamtonu, Akiva Nichamtonu of the end of Maseches Makis. Because Rabbi Akiva saw things that other people couldn't see. He saw the Nevuah. He didn't just believe in the Nevuah. That was what Rachel saw in him that gave her the confidence that he's going to be the Gadol Hadar of all the Dairis. This kind of sensitivity, Rabbi Yisai, is something that we have to develop within us. You have chaverim, you have chavrusis, you have parents, some of you have children. You have to be yoyred into their minds, into their hearts. You have to feel their needs, you have to feel their pain, and then you have to figure out betachbulois, what can I do for them? And you can't stop with a shalom aleichem. You know, there's a joke amongst the Bali Musar that someone met his friend in the street. You know, Reb Shalom Shvadron has a whole scene he describes. You know, Maze nosei ba'olim chavero. Says, Ani yotze Shimon Ani nifgash em ha-chavero uvein baruchov. אנחנו ידידים, חברות המאז, שכנים, אחים. אני שואל אותו, שמעון, מה נשמע? הוא אומר, ברוך השם, הכל בסדר. הוא אומר אליי, ראובן, מה איתך? גם לי בסדר, ברוך השם, הכל מצוין. וכל אחד הולך, עושה השוואה דיון, עושה, ברוך השם, זכיתי היום להיות נושא בעול עם חברים. So there's a joke that the Bali Musa say that someone comes and he says, Shalom Aleichem, how are you? The other person never has a lot of tzaras. He lost all of his money, his wife is sick, and he has trouble walking, and his children are maybe on the verge of being yotzei l'tarbus ro, and he lets it all out. And the other fellow says, I don't understand you. I'm trying to be nice. I give you shalom aleichem. Why are you doing this to me? There is, if anything, there is at least in the person that's nosei be'olim chavero, a reality to him. He's alive. Things mean something. It isn't a surface skimming of reality where you spend your whole life with nonsense and then you're gone. You're alive. Being alive means to feel. Being alive means to care. Being alive means to worry. Being alive means to do something about feeling, caring, and worrying. That's the yesod of the Kinyan HaTayra, that one of the Memches Dvarim called Nosei Be'olim Chavero. I think that if we had a little bit of that in us, we could change the world. But more important than anything else, we ourselves would become great. There's a greatness to a person who's sensitive, who cares, who worries about somebody else. The petty preoccupation of a person with his own and with himself leads to the most corrupt and shallow of personalities. And shallowness is even worse than corruption sometimes. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the koichos and the talents and the abilities to be great. And to accept less than that because we are lazy or tired or bored. You can't allow also the media to make you corrupt. If you think that you're going to hear that an accident occurred, a plane crashed, a place was bombed, and then the sports and the weather, bezach hazeh, and you'll survive that, you're making a terrible mistake. We will not survive that. We will become callous, we will become unconcerned, and we will accept it as olam kiminhagoy noyeg. There's sports, there's weather, and there are bombs. And that's the truth. And you should know that that's what happens to us. And when it happens to us in a subtle way, it's infinitely harder to erase. It's infinitely harder to chase away. The demands of Musar are consciousness, awareness, that is alertness, reading the scene correctly, experiencing the experience, feeling the feeling. That's what Musa wants. And that takes the entire of Yiddishkeit. If a person is Noisei Be'olim Chavero, this is what I want to close with. There's one more chaver that's in quotation marks. You know that Rashi explains Hillel's words, V'yohavta l'reyacha kamocha, that's the ikar of the Torah, right? Gemara Masechet Shabbos. So what is l'reyacha? So Rashi's second pshat is, that's all the Bein Adam l'chaveros, and there's so much of it in the Torah that that's enough to start with. But that's his second pshat. What's his first pshat? That reyacha is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And he quotes a pasuk in Mishnah. Noisei ba'olim chaveiro, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has so much tzar. Kalani miroshi, kalani mizroi. Shchinta begalusa. B'chol yom, v'yom baskol yotzis mehemis kayona v'omeris oili. Oili, oili v'av oili. Shesarafti es beisi, v'achrafti es heicholi. V'iglesi es bonag lumas ha'olam. The person has real sensitivity. He cares about that chaver too. And what do you do about it? You bring Mashiach. How do you bring Mashiach? Not by stamping on your feet or singing, we want Mashiach now, wearing peculiar yarmulkes. You bring Mashiach by being an emissar Eved Hashem. That's how you bring Mashiach. And each person. And when the person's about to do an Aveira, he says, no, I can't do this Aveira. I can't let the Eibishter down. I can't cause him any more suffering than he has already. That's a real Noisei Be'olim Chavero. Maybe that's the highest Madrega of all. But it's a midah that really deserves an extraordinary and exquisite attention, which we don't give it. And I'm convinced that if we would, we would be very, very big. We should be zeicha taka to reach those madregas and taka bring Mashiach and the gula shleima b'meirah v'yameinu. Amen.